This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. We have a couple of sponsors. I'm going to mention them now, if that's okay with you. Hi-Lo Auto Sales, online at HiLoAutoSales.com, and Tire Pros of Frederick. We're online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. That's one way to get to us. Use the keyword field, or you can go to the drop-down menu of what's on the air and find the Faith Debate that way, or you can find our on-air schedule and click on the Faith Debate. You can do it that way. Lots of ways to find the Faith Debate. And if you want to listen to the podcast, you can do that in the audio vault section of the website. You can also find us on iTunes, and if you're not sure how to do any of that, go to the Faith Debate page. You'll find links for doing just that. The last several shows, and again this week, we've got a stellar panel lined up for you. Daniel Rasby. Raz V is a recent law school grad who has a particular interest in things as they relate to church and religion issues. He's graduated from Oak Brook College of Law in California. Julia Shearn is the pastor of St. John's Bible Fellowship Church in Newmarket, Maryland. And Kendall Lovelace is the evangelist at that same church, St. John's Bible Fellowship Church. So we've been talking about things that have been in the news of late. And it wasn't too many weeks ago, although I guess it's about 2 months ago now, as this show airs. In July, Donald Trump had a kind of a surprise visit paid to him in the Oval Office. This is from NBC News, or for those who are fans of a particular movie from back in, like, I guess it was the 90s, NBC News. Trump prays with evangelical leaders in the Oval Office. That's the headline. Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, spent part of Wednesday praying with evangelical leaders in the Oval Office. Social media posts from attendees show the president's head bowed in prayer. I don't know. As those around him laid their hands on the commander-in-chief. Uh-oh, what's going on here? Are we turning into Poland? Right, Vice President Mike Pence is also seen in the picture praying. Oh, can you believe it? Such an honor to pray within the Oval Office for the POTUS and VP, said Johnny Moore, a former senior vice president at Liberty University. He sent that out in a tweet. White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders said the group was a faith advisory council that meets, quote, from time to time to speak about issues important to that community. I guess that community would be the faith community, I'm assuming is what she means there. So this was in NBC, and I'm sure that fans of NBC and that mode of dissemination of news information might have been aghast at some of what I read. But what is your take on that? Do you think it's a good thing? Do you think it doesn't really matter? And what would be a response to some, you know, histrionic secular humanist lefty who's got their hair on fire over this issue? What might you say to them to calm them down?
I will. Greetings again. I would point out that I had made a criticism of our president.
President who?
Trump.
Trump! Ratings went up.
When he spoke before the New York Police Department last week, when he spoke about arresting folks who are presumed innocent, but then arresting and using rough tactics, I made that criticism. But I also want to give him kudos for bringing the vision of Christianity back into the White House. That, to me, is courageous. And it's also exactly what myself as a Christian in the United States wants to see. So I applaud it.
Which is interesting because I'm not even sure he's a Christian. But he's doing things that you would hope to see a Christian be doing. You know, I don't know if he attends church. I'm not sure if he reads his Bible or if he prays.
Well, I know he's been to church.
He's had an interesting life. He's made some decisions in his personal life that make you wonder if there's a lot of fruit in certain aspects. And so you got to wonder. And yet, it's kind of like with the style points versus the policy points issue. His style is all over the place. I mean, if you don't like the White House staff now, just wait a few hours. It'll change. Right. So that's crazy. And yet most of his policies are things that conservatives and evangelicals and Christians in general, for the most part, would find a lot of agreement with. So it is interesting. Do you have a take on this, Daniel?
Yeah, I think a lot of what many of in the liberal crowd would be concerned about this meeting, a lot of their reasoning is, well, the president shouldn't, take a stance on religion. Well, I don't know that that's true. I don't think there's anything that prohibits a politician or someone involved in the government for having a religious belief. Now, we can argue about whether Trump sincerely holds such religious beliefs, but the fact that remains that you can be a Christian and be in politics. And I don't think that's a problem. And I don't see that having a pastor go and pray for you somehow makes that pastor endorsing you and everything you believe and everything you say. So I think the fact that these pastors went and, as it says, laid hands on him or prayed with him does not mean that they necessarily endorse everything he says or don't endorse anything he says. It has nothing to do with that. What it does show is that they seem to care that he does lead the country in a way that is honoring and pleasing to God, which I think is a good aim to have, and I think it's something that's very important, and we should pray for all our leaders so that they'll follow after God and govern according to his principles.
Now, let me put a slightly different face on this and use it as a pivot into the next thing that I want to talk about today, which is a story about prayer with government officials in North Carolina. But a different face. Let's imagine that Donald Trump wasn't professing to be a Christian but was professing to be a Muslim. And the gathering of people coming into the Oval Office to pray and lay hands, if Muslims do that. I'm not sure if they lay hands or not, but they came to pray and bow towards Mecca and all of that sort of stuff in the Oval Office, a bunch of imams. Would we feel the same way as Christians, or would that trouble us? And we'd be like, I don't know if the president should be bowing towards Mecca in the Oval Office. It bothers me. What do you think?
Well, I think so. You go ahead. You haven't gotten a chance to speak yet.
Do you have anything you want to add? I don't want to put you on the spot.
I just want to say, since the beginning of the establishment of this country, there were a lot of men of faith that gathered. My concern would be with our president, as you said, Daniel.
President Trump.
Yes.
Trump.
Ratings just went up again.
Russia.
If this was, and no slight to him, but he has done a lot of things to in the visual, for the visual effect, to appease a lot of people. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to have any true effect.
Right.
I enjoy the fact that there are people of faith that, because we are called to pray for our government officials, our president needs a lot of prayer. My hope is that someone had a little holy water and they slipped that up under the desk. Or this is what we need to do as a
clandestine
country,
effort.
As a country, all of our faith-based believers, all of the Christians, that's what we need to be doing. There is power in prayer. And it doesn't matter whether it's the president or somebody else. This is what we're called to do, those of us who believe. And we need to do more of it. Did it have any effect? That's yet to be seen. But this is what each of us are called to do. We don't necessarily need to be in the Oval Office, but this is what we're called to do. We are called, those of us who believe, we are called to go into prayer on the behalf of this country. That's what we're called to do.
And you had a thought you were going to say before you graciously handed the mic over to Kendall.
You asked about if our president was a Muslim, mm-hmm. And as you know, some people had speculated that Obama might have been sympathetic to that, to the Muslim faith, and having outwardly professing Muslim faith as a president and having imams come and pray for you, while I as a Christian would not think that that's something that should be done in general just because I disagree with the Muslim faith, that doesn't mean that the president does not have the right to meet with whoever he wants to meet with, and if he believes in Islam, then that's his belief. I may not vote for him, but I don't think there's anything that's prohibiting him from meeting with whoever he wants to meet with. I would hope that even in such an instance, you would have Christians that would pray for him. You would have Christians that would pray for him to get saved, to come to a saving knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's died for our sins.
Well, Kendall said a moment ago that there's power in prayer. So let's switch to this story from Religion News Service.
Mm-hmm.
Headline is Court. And then a little break, and then it says, North Carolina commissioners' prayer practice violated Constitution. So the court says that the North Carolina commissioners' prayer practice violated the Constitution. Let's learn more, shall we? This is from the AP in the Religion News Service, Slugline, Richmond, Virginia. Elected officials in North Carolina violated the Constitution by opening meetings with Christian prayers and inviting audience members to join in. A federal appeals court ruled this on Friday, July 14th. So 10 days after Independence Day, there was some independence of prayer called into question. This was a closely watched case that could end up in the Supreme Court of the United States. The Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a lower court ruling that found the Rowan County Board of Commissioners' prayer practice to be unconstitutionally coercive. The Supreme Court already has ruled that it's appropriate for local clergy to deliver predominantly Christian prayers and town meetings in New York. The question in the Rowan County case was whether it makes a difference that the prayers were given by the commissioners themselves and whether their invitation for the audience to join them in prayer was coercive. So, Mr. Law School grad who took the bar not too long ago, what say you?
Well, I think what the point of contention here is about whether this is constitutes an establishment of religion under the First Amendment, and if by praying, and I'm assuming these are Christian prayers, and most of these cases seem to be very Christian beliefs. They don't seem to care so much if it's another faith belief, which I think in itself is an establishment of other religions than Christianity.
Yeah, well, let me continue the next paragraph because it ties to that. So the Fourth Circuit, located in Richmond, Virginia, stressed that it's not inherently unconstitutional for lawmakers to lead prayers, but the fact that the Rowan County commissioners were the exclusive prayer givers, combined with them consistently invoking one faith and inviting the audience members to participate, sent the message that they preferred Christianity above other religions. And well, so that's well, the I issue would, the court was trying
well,
to
Well, I highlight. Would hope if you were a Christian that you would prefer Christianity above other religions. But the test that the courts normally use for determining whether these actions by the government are an establishment of religion, and like it or not, the lawmaker or the commissioner, they are a government actor. So this is a government action, the prayer, and their question is, does this violate the establishment clause? So is there a secular purpose to it? And they're going to argue there's no secular purpose to the prayer. Does the primary effect advance or inhibit religion? And they're going to say that's it probably does that as well. And is there excessive government entanglement? So I don't know. And that's called the Lemon Test, by the way. It's from a court case, the Lemon v. Kurtzman, I believe. And that's where.
So if it really sucks and makes you have your face get all squirreled up in a ball, then
something to that effect. Yes. So I don't know under the current court interpretation of the law whether it violates the Establishment Clause. Clearly, this court feels that it does violate the Establishment Clause as a Christian.
It does. Here's a quote from the judge who wrote the majority opinion, and he was joined by 9 other judges.
Wow.
Here's the quote. The principle at stake here may be a profound one, but it is also simple. The Establishment Clause does not permit a seat of government to wrap itself in a single faith.
Right. And that will be what they're calling excessive entanglement. They're saying that we're saying you can only pray Christian prayers. I'm not sure that I get that from seeing the context of the story. I have to do some more research on it. You were going to say something, Pastor?
Well, when you begin to do lingualese with me, you lose me. But I don't know what they mean when you say wrap yourself. You are what you are. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. If what they mean by that is by you demonstrating your Christian faith, you're being coercive to those who hear you. You know, well, to me, that's politically incorrect. But it also speaks to me, Troy, the need for more Christians to participate in politics, to be seen, to be heard. Because what I see is happening, and last week or week before, we were talking about the abortion issue. A lot of stuff is wrapped in legalese. And if we don't play on every playing field, then we're going to be losing. And so I applaud what they're doing in prayer. And I applaud what God is doing with the Supreme Court.
Now, I'm going to quite literally play devil's advocate here for a moment, okay?
And that's why I bought my blessing on.
Where's that holy water you snuck in here? So let's say that the knuckleheads in North Carolina elected some commissioners who were Satanists, and they stood up and did some sort of Satan worship prayer. Would we be arguing that made us? Because here's what the the American Civil Liberties Union took up this lawsuit on behalf of non-Christians who say the prayers made them feel excluded and sent the message that the board favored a particular religion. So would we feel excluded and feel like the board was favoring Satan worship? I think that is making an argument that is not based in reality, reject it for that reason. But
I'm going to split with the general court interpretation of the Establishment Clause and say that I don't believe that the Constitution protects Satanism. I don't think that's what the founders intended by it, and I don't think it is protected there. Now, the courts disagree with me. So Satanism is, for all intents and purposes, protected under interpretation of the law. So what their argument is that when you, as a Christian, give a prayer, you are excluding other people. And I think they're reading a lot into it, and people get convicted. They know that as a Christian, I believe that if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he died for your sins, and that he's the only way you can get to heaven, that you're not saved and you're going to go to hell. And because I believe that, even if I don't come out and say it to your face, you get convicted by it as a non-believer, and you're afraid that I'm excluding you, where no, God loves you. God loves everyone. He loved us while we were yet sinners. And I think when people say, well, I tolerate all religions, and we should tolerate all religions, well, that really means I tolerate all religions except for the one that doesn't tolerate that belief.
And that ties to something else in this story. By the way, this is the Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. That was the voice of Daniel Rasby that I just so unceremoniously cut off. he is a insightful legal mind on the show today, graduate from Oak Brook College of Law in California. Julia Shearn and Kendall Lovelace, the pastor and evangelist, respectively, from St. John's Bible Fellowship Church, are also on the show. So the Fourth Circuit said it also found it troubling that the commissioner's prayers sometimes implied that other faiths were, quote, in some way condemned, with messages suggesting that Christianity was the one and only way to salvation. So that's exactly what the issue is. The exclusive claims of Christ, the exclusive nature of Christianity, is what bothers them.
And that's why you
and
cannot—
And the problem is?
Well, we were talking earlier about President Barack Obama, and some people, you know, were suspicious that he was either a Muslim or at least apologetic for Islam. I don't think he's a Muslim. I don't think he's necessarily a Christian either. I think he fits the mold for what passes for religiosity in America today, where it's a secular
totally
humanism that's connected to an interfaith idea where all faiths are equal. And
right.
And so, yeah, he loved Islam, and he loved Christianity, and he loved Buddhism, and he loved Zoroastrianism. I mean, he loved everything. So,
right. And that's the problem is when you have you cannot have total tolerance of all faiths, because once you do that, you are thereby excluding those faiths who don't tolerate other
you
faiths.
You are such an intolerant, narrow-minded, bigoted Christian. How did you get in here? Unbelievable.
If I can say something, Troy, that I believe is part of the problem. We don't have enough Christians that live by true conviction. Too many Christians are more concerned about offending somebody else or offending another religion, while at the same time you're being offensive. If I had the opportunity, which I oftentimes do, it's a joke in my house. I only have two friends, my husband and my mother, and they don't count because they're obligated to love me. You have to take a stand for what you believe in. And when you waver, you cross a line. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if you're not going to stand
Why
up—
Why did you look at me when you said that?
Because I like you, Troy. I like you. But this is what we need more of. We need more Christians to stand up and not be double-minded and live by their conviction. And by the way, Daniel, the Supreme Court, our Constitution, it does support Satanism. Totally. That we live in
I agree. Under the current interpretation of the Supreme Court, yes.
Yes.
What I was saying was I don't believe the founders intended it that way.
Oh, of course they didn't intend it.
And if we can get back to what they originally intended, that would not be protected. But the fact of the matter is, it is under current law. I think the court would do well to understand that just because the commissioner is a Christian does not mean the government is Christian. And you can be in the government. Now, if they're going to prohibit him from professing his faith at work, that's no different from me professing my faith at work at Higher Ground Financial Group where I work. It's or you, Troy, at WFMD, professing your faith. You can't prohibit someone from professing their faith. If you're going to say we cannot prohibit the free exercise of religion, you can't say that, well, just because you're an elected official, now all of a sudden you no longer have free exercise. That cannot be.
Well, and this is part of the problem that comes in where people of faith don't want to live by their convictions. If that would be the case, an early retirement would be due for you, Troy, because we have to stand on the principle of the gospel. And when we don't, we waver. And that confuses everyone else that's looking at us to be a beacon of light for the truth. So we have to live by our convictions.
Well, the ACLU disagrees all y'all. The North Carolina legal director for the ACLU, Chris Brook, who argued the case, called the ruling a great victory for the rights of all residents to participate in their local government without fear of discrimination. So that's the argument they're making. I mean, it's interesting, though, because they're discriminating against Christians, so they have to be fear of discrimination.
I again say this. Christians do have to stand on their convictions, and they have to become involved. I kind of like Trump being in the White House because I think we're going to get another Supreme Court pick. And this is going to be the battle of all battles.
Mm.
But we're going to win
and
that
conservatives
battle.
Are hoping the next pick is a conservative replacing a liberal rather than a conservative replacing a conservative, right? Because that just kept the ballgame even.
Even. Yeah. And that's why they keep on giving good medicine to Kennedy.
We got several older ones. And,
yes.
You know, if on the Supreme Court. And so if Trump, if he were to get reelected, particularly, if he were to serve 8 terms, there would definitely be a huge move in a conservative direction. Over 8 years in the Supreme Court, there'd be a huge move, I think. And that's what conservatives are probably hoping for. But anyway, I'm going to have to wrap this up. Let me get a final thought on your mind.
Well, final thought. Just wanted to read from the Maryland Constitution. We talk a lot about the federal Constitution, but the Maryland Constitution currently in Article 36 states that as it is the duty of every man to worship God in such manner as he thinks most acceptable to him, him meaning God, all persons are equally entitled to protection in their religious liberty. And it goes on, but the point being, it's you have the religious liberty to worship God in the manner that you feel God wants you to be worshipped. And that was the view of the founders. That was the view of the authors of the Maryland Constitution. And that, I think, is we would do well to get back to those
If you would stop
principles.
Quoting, like, the actual Constitution and, like, facts and things, we could probably make some progress on this show. That's Daniel Rasby, a graduate from Oak Brook College of Law in California. Pastor Julius Shern and Evangelist Kendall Lovelace from St. John's Bible Fellowship Church also on the show. That church is located in New Market. I think their service begins Sundays at 11 o'clock, right? So
yes,
if you hustle, you can get yourself ready and head
amen,
on over there.
Amen.
Thanks to our sponsors, Hilo Auto Sales, online at HiloAutoSales.com, and Tire Pros of Frederick. We're online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. Thanks so much for listening. Until next week, which will be 167 and a half hours from now. God bless.